Hey, and welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where Smith is blooms in athletics and sports. Well, I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving and the games. Congratulations to those who advanced in postseason play and to those administrators that were able to juggle it all. I am off to Houston tomorrow. I'm participating in position, partner, and profit live conference. I bought a panel to really discuss how sponsorships have helped me grow my business. Now, if you're listening and you're thinking, well, I'm not an entrepreneur. I understand that. But partnerships are the same as sponsorships. And this is why you need to tune in, because the conference is free, virtually and in person. Yes, it is free. And the reason why I want to bring this to your attention, because many, many, many women believe they can't do sponsorship. But we are the most relationship type of people on the planet. And that's what really where partnerships and sponsorships come from, relationships. And so I really want you to attend. It's free, December 2nd and 4th. If you want the replay to your inbox, because you got all these games going on this weekend, if you want the replay, just let me know, and I can send you my link. It's a special link. But you need to purchase it before the actual live event, because the price will go up. But if you want to connect with me while I'm in Houston, which I would really love, inbox me, MoniqueAJSmith@seedsofempowerment.info. But if you just want to watch for free, just go to positionpartnerprofit.com. 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 And hey, all I'm here to do is to give you resources so you can grow. I just plant seeds. And so speaking of that, have you gotten your latest copy of Significance in Athletics and Sports magazine? On the cover, it has Dr. Ingrid Wicker-McCree, who served in the position of athletic director for North Carolina Central for 14 years. Yeah, 14 years. And what I just want to give a shout out, this is my personal privilege, is that, and this is a word for you too, is her leadership, the person who is the football team and their success, is part of her legacy. Okay, let me turn some of this sound down. It's part of her legacy. So the success you see in North Carolina Central right now with the football coach going to the Celebration Bowl, that's part of her success. So that's what a leader is. A leader is a person that sets a foundation, and then when you leave it, it is still going in the same direction and flourishing. Not maybe the same direction, but flourishing off of the direction that you put them in. And I just like to say that because, you know, we get so excited about, we just need to pay homage to the women leaders who set that stage. And I will just say this, I think it's really ironic, because that's one of the things that she stood beside, because she said that they needed to have an alumnus as the football coach, guide them to get them back in the winning circle. And when the powers that be said, oh, no, you need to get rid of them, she didn't do that. She stood by her conviction, and she didn't do that. And I'll be honest, it probably cost her some leverage, okay? But that's why I want to give her shout out, because that Celebration Bowl is part of her legacy. I just want to be able to say that. But yeah, learn more about the leadership of Dr. Ingrid Wicker-McCree. You really need to get this magazine, okay? And just go to Amazon Just go to Amazon. I think I got two left here. So I'm going to send it to Amazon so you can get it quickly in your hand. And, you know, get your copy today. And then go to our private Facebook group and watch the Meet the Contributors. Each week I bring contributors to the magazine to Facebook Live so that you can hear from them and ask questions, which y'all don't do. Y'all might say, hey, which is just as good. I'm not sure who's going to be on tonight at 6, but we're going to meet the contributors again tonight at 6 o'clock. I think I thought I was traveling today. I didn't put it up there, but I'm not traveling until tomorrow night. So I will meet you at the Facebook Live tonight at 6 o'clock to talk more about Meet the Contributors. Now, guess what? The fifth issue is in production right now. I stayed up to after midnight editing articles. Yes, I did. And I am really excited about that. I really am. It really brings me joy to help others package their specialized knowledge in a format that will allow them to enter the consultant space so people know what they can get from contributors and pay for. Let's be clear. Speaking engagement, if they don't want it, they don't have money, we'll just say buy the magazine, which is what I just did for Dr. Ingrid McCree. She's got an upcoming speaking engagement in March. And she said she didn't have money for speakers. I said, well, you buy materials for the attendees, don't you? And she said, well, yeah. I said, well, I need you to buy a certain number of magazines that will be invoiced from Dr. Ingrid McCree. That's how you do that. So, again, the entrepreneur ways that I've learned, I am sharing it with you. Because we all need more than one income stream in this type of economy. You definitely need that, okay? And so I'm saying go get your copy from Amazon. I'm saying go to the Facebook Live, private Facebook group, Chat in the Garden, and watch Meet the Contributors. I think you can have more. And let me tell you which articles they really liked as well. And most importantly, if you want to be in the sixth issue that goes live on Amazon August 2023, you need to inbox me. I'm going to start taking individuals in December. And I like to have at least 11 or 12. So I must admit, I don't have 12 slots available. I already got, I think, four people already slated to be in the sixth one. So you need to get on board when I start announcing this in December, which, guess what, December starts tomorrow. So you want to be in the mix with that. And it's going really well. Can you imagine? Six? Yeah, the fifth issue will hit the stand. Hit Amazon Live March of this year. Yes. And I'm glad to be able to change the perception of the fact. Because one young lady today, it was funny, I said, well, I need a picture of you speaking. And she said, I don't speak. I said, you do now. And so if anybody, you're going to find out my teaching style and my consulting style. Yeah, that's the kind of way I throw you out there, but I'm right there in the wings encouraging you on. And that's what we do. I come from an HBCU background, and that's what we do. We go ahead, baby, we got you. That's how you build confidence. You don't build confidence by reading books. I love books, but you got to be able to go out there and do. You know what I mean? So if you want to, you know, take your shot with me and package of specialized knowledge, intellectual property. It belongs to you. You may work for the institution, but how you construct it and solve the problem, that's your intellectual property that you take wherever you go. Let me help you package that so then we can be able to tell the world this is what your expertise is. And we call it expertise marketing. So inbox me, Monique AJ Smith at SusanEmpowerment.info. Seawall Foundation is offering media training for their student athletes. With name, image, and likeness on deck, this is really important. Kendall Waller is the founder and has extensive background with Seawall Sports Entertainment. And you can see her anytime at any of the D.C. professional sports. And she's interviewing players. She's kind of, you know, pretty proficient with that. And now she's branching out and preparing our players for lights, camera, action, so we don't have any sorry Ms. Jackson moments. For more information, email her at info@seawallfoundation.org. Again, that's info@seawallfoundation.org. Hey, we've got some phenomenal women inside the garden that have penned some resources. And one of those individuals, our media partner, Aisha Ford, the author of the book, Success is My Major. This book is written by an athletic administrator. And I'm excited that she's partnering and we can be able to share her insights. I have used the book when I speak to middle school students because it really does shape them into understanding. It's not your talent that's going to be able to make you go far when you get that call to be on the athletic squad. It's your ability to grow and to be a team player. So the first person you got to lead is yourself. And that's called what? Professional development, personal development. And she talks about all of this. Success is my major. And she's not even 30 years old. And she is working on a college campus. And what I really, really, you know, if you have a certain age, you use the word spoil, all right? But in 2022 and beyond, the word is called entitled. And, you know, it's called helicopter parents. It's called, finding your voice and being authentic still has to have some structure behind it. Because you'll miss the growing opportunity to grow yourself if you don't. And that's what she talks about. She talks about different books that she has read that made her a better person and made her a better contributor. Because let's just be honest, the young lady was a star in high school in AAU basketball, and then she goes to campus and she's got the star all over again. Do you know how often this happens? And usually when a person is just confused and unhappy, they act out. And then when you act out, you become a problem, a cancer for the team. So everything you thought that you were, that you can bring, you can't even do it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So if you know somebody who needs to have this book, because I need to tell you, when you give a person a book, it takes ownership of the actions that need to be taken, more so than you telling them what needs to be done. So go get this book, SuccessMajorBook.com. Again, SuccessMajorBook.com. And if you're a member of the Facebook group, go look, because she's got a lot of resources. She had a great Black Friday. So she's doing some coaching as well. Some executive coaching. And I would really suggest you get on board. So go to successmajorbook.com and get the book. And honestly, same thing for the magazine. Go on Amazon and put a review. Because, look, if you look at the number of Black women that have books in athletic administration or in the sports world, it's very few. So we got to support each other. Go to successmajorbook.com. Another resource that I've always been pushing is Surviving the Light, the Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse. This is so important in this day of name, image, and likeness. This book was written before that, but the same principles apply. These young people are going to have someone that has a financial background to protect them. And one of those areas is a tax preparer. And it can't be auntie who's an accountant for church. No, it cannot be. they got to know all the different rules and regulations. And one of the things most students are on their parents' tax, they get this name, image, and likeness to make more than $600. They got to file their own taxes. And that includes getting some of that free stuff that they call free, but it's not free. When they do those posts on Instagram and the people say you can come get a free meal, that free meal has a price to it, and so therefore they got to pay taxes on it. Yeah, if all that sounds really, really new to you, this is why you need to get the book, number one, and to understand some of the areas that they need to have coverage. Because the book was written basically about athletes becoming professionals based on money making them a professional. So if our student athletes are getting money now, that means this book needs to be on your bookshelf. So how do you get this book? You go to Amazon. It's in three different formats. Audio, paperback, and ebook. Again, Surviving the Lights, a professional athlete's playbook to avoiding the curse. And the curse is losing your money. Okay? Alva Amaker. Oh, I'm so excited for her. She's about to become a grandmother, but she's also an educational risk management consultant, and she owns Vigilant Safety Training Center. Well, she likes to say, go from policy to practice. The center has the following: first responder training, sport and event staff certification. Let me pause right there. Those are the people that wear the little yellow jackets to say event staff on their back of their jackets, okay? And why do you need to do this? Because you might hire an outside entity and they have not been in training in first responders. It may be student athlete sports management folks that do that. They've not been trained. And what do I mean? All these different incidents that happen that should alert you. Do my people know what to do? One of the most interesting parts I've sat in some of her presentations is, you know, what if your cell phone's a lot? What do you need to do? You know, she talks about having an understanding of hand movement, get somebody going on the toppest, the highest surface to be able to educate the rest of the staff to be able to direct the rest of the crowd. Now, me being in business for 30 years, I had never thought of that. But, yeah, the problem is when the stuff starts getting tight, you got to have muscle memory. You got to have some practice. You got to know what to do. And it just can't be the thing that you checked off for compliance to say, this is what we're going to do. You got to be able to have somebody say, is this staff ready? So this is why I say that. Workspace safety and personal training and operations. So important. We've had so many tragedies of late as it relates to sports. And you don't want to not have people in place to know what to do. And I've been fortunate today to share her for different entities. And, again, her workshops are thorough. So go to her website, Vigilance, VigilanceStc.com. VigilanceStc.com. To register and get on board. But people, you know, it comes a day when you can be able to bring someone to your platform that you have watched them grow. And I am so excited, and I've been trying to get her on for some time now. It's Ms. Tori Sproul, Director of Facilities for Adelphi University. Welcome to the garden, Tori. Hey, Tori.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay, let's not be nervous. Just talk to me like normal, okay?
No, I know. Yeah.
So did you hear your cheers?
Yeah, I heard my applause.
Yes, you got applause. So what I want to start off with is you tell the audience your journey from college to your current position.
Okay, so in 2019, I graduated from Hampton University. After graduation, I wanted a full-time job, but then I thought about if enhancing my education would get me a little further or, like, where I would stand if I was to go back and get my master's. So I live in Long Island, New York, and Adelphi University had a graduate assistantship position for 2 years. In undergrad, I had a professor that would always, like, talk about, like, you should never pay for school and kind of just, like, use any opportunity that presents itself to move forward. So when I heard about that, I was like, you know, 2 years is a long time to just be a student, receiving a stipend, credits. So I was hesitant, but then I went for it. And when I was a graduate assistant for 2 years, I worked really hard. I gave it my all. And to say the least, my hard work went unnoticed. So in November of 2021, after I graduated from Adelphi in May of 2021, my boss actually left his position, and I applied, and I got the position.
Now, I know you're from New York, and I know you all do things fast, but I'm going to have to slow you down, okay?
Okay.
All right, so I want to go back a little bit about your college days. And even though your internship was not in this area, what internships did you do, and how do you feel like that? Because you did internships before you got grades for it.
Yeah, I did a few internships. So I interned at the City College of New York under the athletic director. That internship really exposed me to a lot of different, like, things there are to do inside of athletics, because it was kind of like, it wasn't like one specific thing. Like, I applied to an internship and I was bound to just do compliance or bound to just do event management. So I kind of got a feel for everything. And while I was there, event management was something I really did like. I also interned in New York with the New York Lizards. So my senior year of Hampton, I did a split with the New York Lizards as a sales and marketing intern, and then the other half I did at the City College of New York, and just the overall, like, intern for the athletic department.
Okay. Now, just because I know this, you did an internship before that was not for credit. Did you forget?
Yeah, so the first internship ever did was at Queens College for compliance. That was like my first internship.
Right, first one. So
yeah.
And the reason why I really want to go back to that, because I tell people all the time, you know, I mean, people who've been out of the business, or people who want to, you know, have done something else and want to come back in, I said, go intern, go volunteer. So let's just talk about not getting paid for these internships and your thoughts about that. Did you have any apprehension? You know, because honestly, there's a campaign for that, you know, saying that interns need to get paid, but the value, this is my personal opinion, I'm not trying to make you have the same, but the value you get from that position you for where you are now, what are your thoughts about taking internships that are not paid?
Honestly, all my internships were unpaid. So I think to get where you want to go, sometimes you have to make sacrifices. So in college, like, internship, like, my just thought on the whole internship was, how can I do these internships that can prepare me for the long run? Like, I wasn't necessarily concerned about the pay. I mean, like, it would be nice, of course, but I was just focused on learning and growing and just getting a feel for new things within the sports industry.
And do you really think that paid off?
Yeah, of course. Definitely.
I don't think you don't know this, but yeah, maybe you do. So this semester, I was been over practical, and which is just some internship. It's less hours. But it's supposed to prepare you, your mindset, and position you for the internship, which is requirement. The practicum is a requirement as well. And I just get all this pushback about, it's not paid. I got to get paid. I got bills. And I'm like, you know, I don't have much patience for foolishness. And I'm not saying they don't have legit concerns, but there's a time and place for everything. But there are some, I do know some professors who've done research on why it's the thought of having free labor. So that being said, I understand that you are looking for grad assistance for your program to work under you. What do you look for? And you're paying.
Yeah, so I think what I look for is very particular because I was a grad assistant. So coming in, I think, like I said, I feel like my hard work paid off. Like, of course, in the sports industry, you have to put in a lot of hours. Sometimes, even as a grad assistant, you're here 12 hours a day for games, or you're here on weekends preparing the field or the gym for another event. So what I look for in particular is just someone who is hardworking, someone who's just willing to step in whenever something's needed to be done. I would also say someone that's also very confident in, like, what they do. Like, if they run a game, they're very confident on, like, this is my game. I'm going to make it the way I want to make it in order to make it successful. I think that's important, too, because when I was a GA, my boss kind of let us create our games how we wanted it to be ran, and it ran much smoother than so-called, like, by the books. And as long as you're, of course, doing everything you're supposed to do. Yeah, so I feel like that's the characteristics I would look for in a graduate assistant. Because I know it is a lot of hours and there's a lot of stuff that has to be done, but sometimes you can see when people are just doing it for the degree opposed to for a passion. And I think that really stands out too.
So one of the things, even though I teach, I also have interns, which is me at Blue Williams. And there's this thing of the fear of messing up or fear of failure. And so, you know, I'll say, have you done so? Or is that what you want me to do? I'm like, no, I want you to do, but I want you to have initiative. I'm trying to train your brain to figure out what needs to be done versus waiting for me to say. So kind of go back into your sales days. I asked the person, how did their sales go? And they were like, yeah, it went good. I said, well, spreadsheet so that you can see. Well, unfortunately, he actually couldn't remember who he talked to. I said, that's why you got to have it. So, I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you, and I'm as transparent and vulnerable as I can. I'm not the best communicator for tasks because somehow or another within my brain, I somehow or another forget that they may not think that way. And maybe I should have told him to do a spreadsheet before he even started. But in my mind, I'm going like, well, how are you going to know who you talk to? You got to do something, you know, that you put down. And you got to put a name down of who you talk to. So how do you train initiative?
Yeah, that's something, like, since I started the job, I really had to, like, figure out different ways to train different people. Because, like you said, come in and kind of have, like, a background on, okay, I interned here. I kind of know the way things go, but everything's different versus some people who are coming in for the first time. So with me, I'm very, like, hands-on with training in the beginning, and that's something I learned, too, because I would also think, like, okay, if I wrote out a whole timeline of everything that's supposed to happen through a game, someone's supposed to understand it, but then everybody receives information different. Everybody processes things different. Some people are visual learners. Some people can read a sheet that you made that has step-by-step and understand it and process it faster. So I've definitely grown with that within the year that I've been working here for sure. Just understanding that everybody's different. I have 3 graduate assistants, 8 supervisors, and I manage over 120 student workers. So So everybody's different and everybody knows how to do certain things differently, or one person might be better at doing something than the other person. But I think as far as training, I try to be as hands-on as possible in the beginning until I can see the person is really comfortable with doing what they have to do.
I hope you know how proud I am of you.
I know.
Oh, my goodness. To say that you supervise these number of people, you know, that's what a leader is. Oh, my goodness. So I'm going to go a little bit more into some biases. And again, you know, I sent you to learn compliance because when I met you, you said you wanted to be a lawyer. And so I wasn't trying to change your mind. I was just trying to say, well, if you have that mindset, compliance may be for you. And then from there, you know, you told me you did some ticketing and some marketing and some sales. And so how did you land in facilities, and how many women did you see in that area?
Yeah, I always wanted to be a lawyer. Like, that was my dream. Like, growing up, I had cousins that was lawyers. So I always, like, seen what it was to be inside a law office or go there with my cousins. And that was definitely a dream. So then when I got to Hampton, as you know, when I first met you, I was like, sports and entertainment law, that's what I'm doing. That's kind of like, it's not an option. But just being in, like, your classes and having Livingston and, like, all the professors I had, it really opened me up to, like, there's so much more within the sports industry that I didn't even know about. Like, I just thought, like, okay, you could do sales or you could do marketing, and that's kind of, like, it. As far as, like, landing in facilities, so when I first applied to Adelphi, Dr. Livingston always told me, he was like, any school you go to, you never want to pay for a degree. And that, I don't know, when he said it when I was a sophomore, that just really clicked in my head. So when I applied to Adelphi, I reached out to the sports management, the head of the department, and I was just like, is there any opportunity for a graduate assistantship position? Because I did my research on, like, graduate assistantship positions, like what it entails. And he said, yeah, we have an opening. He put me in contact with an AD for facilities and game day operations. He had an opening. I came in, interviewed. He gave me the position. And as far as women in the facilities, you don't really see a lot of it. I know when I was a graduate assistant, even, I was the only female. I just think, I don't know. I don't know why there's not a lot of females. I don't know if it's the fear of, like, doing something different or, like, being, like, really hands-on with things. But, yeah, it's not a lot of females in facilities and game operations. Well, from what I see in the area I'm in.
So not seeing that, how did that, it doesn't seem that it affected your confidence, but how does it seem as it relates to being a role model for others to jump on into the facilities part?
Yeah, my confidence has always remained the same. It made me even more eager to be the best I can be at my job, being a female.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people, like, females that are coming in, as far as being a role model, I just want to show, like, females, like, any aspect of sports that's sometimes seen as, like, male dominant, you can always be the one female that can do your job to the best of the ability. And just, you know, females can do anything. And don't be fearful of, and not to be fearful if you don't see as many females doing what you want to do in particular.
Now, I don't think you took race and gender with me, or psychosociology or sport with me. I'm not sure. But it's funny because Monday night I teach race and gender. And we were discussing about young ladies in sports and whatnot and, you know, like the biases. And it's like young girl and young boy start off together doing T-ball. It's a given that the guy would go to baseball and the girl would go to softball. But I said, but what if the girl really wants to play with baseball? And so they gave me all this hoo and ha, well, you know, it's really not possible, and the body makeup and the this and the that and that and it. And so the day before Thanksgiving, I see that there's a Division One young lady who made a Division One baseball team. She tried out, and she made it. You know, I could not wait to get to class and say, bam. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it definitely is females can do anything. And I would just say females can do anything beyond your limited beliefs, you know, personal limited beliefs. And it's interesting because me being around you, I would have always thought you just want to be behind the desk. So for me to know that you are out and about, and fix, I mean, when I call you sometimes, yeah, I had to figure out how to make the clock work, and I had to do this and do that. And I was like, well, look at this girl, you know? This is, so give me a typical day.
So it depends on the day. Typical day usually starts with, like, administration meetings or task force meetings that I'm a part of now, or I hold meetings with my supervisors and my graduate assistants. I do desk work. I'm in charge of, like, creating rental contracts and plugging all schedules into the system and things like that. But I think a typical day is just being ready for anything. I mean, like you said, if the scoreboard stops working, try to find a way to figure it out. If the bleachers break, trying to find a way to figure it out, or being that liaison between facilities and just having good relationships so people are willing to help you when you do need that help. So yeah, my typical day is usually a long day. I try to get up early to get things out the way. That's just how I personally, like, I figured out, like, being here, that just works for me. Like, even if I'm, like, remote from home on my laptop, answering emails and sending out contracts early, I like to start early. Because I noticed since I'm the liaison to facilities, our facilities department gets in at 6:30 in the morning, and they're out by 2:33. So if you don't get to them on something you really need help with early in the morning, urgent, you probably won't catch them at all. So I'm up early starting my day. And meetings, office work, and just being ready whenever I'm needed if something goes wrong. And then, of course, if it's game day, I could be here 12 hours, maybe 13 hours a day.
I mean, because you're so busy, I rarely talk to you. And I'm like, okay. It's like a hit and miss. But, again, I'm just so proud of you. And we're going to take really a short break here in Chatting and Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And we'll return talking to Ms. Torres, Director of Facilities for Adelphi University.
My name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Forrest, former student athlete and author of the book Success is My Major. Now, when I was a student athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chattanooga Garden with Mrs. Bloom in Athletics and Sports. Well, Tori, let me ask you a question. Did I ever assign any podcasts for you to listen to as a student?
Of course.
So, did you would be on here as a guest?
Honestly, no.
Yeah. So what would you like to send a message to your 18-year-old self that's in a sports management course? What would you say to yourself and for those that I may give this as a extra credit assignment?
I think to my 18-year-old self, I would say that I'm proud of me for, you know, in class, paying attention, listening, learning, because I feel you learn most when you're listening, especially if you have professors, their experiences. What else would I say to myself? I would say definitely, like, I see the growth in the 18-year-old myself, because if I would have stuck to the, I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm not doing anything else, I would probably be trying to figure it out or just getting out of law school. And I would just say I'm thankful for not being stubborn and just always listening to anyone that tried to help me throughout my journey, even if it was things I didn't agree. Like, I know when you would tell me, I think I was one of the people that would say, internship is not paid, I don't want to do it in the beginning. So if I still had that mindset, I probably would have never got the experience I was able to get. Even when I was a graduate assistant, being 22 years old, just trusting my process to get where I've been. I think that's important, just being able to trust your process and whatever journey you take, just staying faithful to it.
Well, I can say that you were a mature person in class, because I tell students all the time, you know, you'll market yourself to me in class. And it was funny because we were, you know, we're down to like finals in a couple of weeks. And some folks were saying, well, yeah, you know, the season's over. They're probably not even, you know, thinking about class. I said, well, I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm somebody you're going to want to have on your Rolodex after you leave this class. What do you say about, and this goes to a question that I often ask by a young lady that is at The Ohio State, and she's studying sports management education and relationships. And so her question is, did you have faculty and classmates that impact your success in the field? So this is not me just asking the question. This is her as a researcher. She's measuring women's advancement based on relationships building with faculty and classmates in the sports management education field?
Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
Okay, yeah, I kind of went all the way around. So the question really is how she really wants to know how your sports management education and relationships and how that helped with your current position, faculty or classmates, how did it impact your success in the field? And I said before that you are one of the mature students in class, which markets yourself to me to have a dialogue with you beyond the classwork.
Yeah, I think relationships are everything. And as I get older, I keep seeing how important they are. Like even when you step into a field and working at a university that's new to you, it's important because you have to build relationships with the people you work with. Even in class, with your professors, I think it's important to build relationships. When I was at Hampton, I feel like I wasn't shy, but like I really wasn't that outspoken. So I kind of had to break my shell and talk more with my professors and talk more with my classmates because you can learn a lot through the people surrounded by you. I know people mm-hmm. that I took your class with, I'm still close to this day, and we all do different things and talk about life and jobs, or you ask for advice on if something happens at work, how could you do something different, or their opinion and outlook on different things. Even professors, I still talk to a few of the professors at Hampton to this day. At Adelphi now, currently, relationships are important. Even being the liaison department, you really have to build those relationships with people. So I think relationships are really, really important, like with peers, everybody you come in contact with.
So what about your grad school? You chose the grad school based on the opportunity to have did your research. What were you looking for? I guess I'm trying to back that up. As it relates to selecting one for yourself.
So I was just looking for a grad assistantship in general. I didn't know so much which graduate assistantship I wanted to be a part of, but they had the event management facilities opening. Mm-hmm. Also, I was researching because I knew since I graduated, I did have experience, but I just wanted a little more experience and to dig deeper into something that I really wanted to do or that I was passionate about. And then, of course, Adelphi is literally like 15, 20 minutes from my house, so I weighed that in also because I knew that I would be receiving my degree paid for, but also I would receive a stipend. So I just thought it was mm-hmm. best to just be closer to home to get through it all.
So those are all good points for those that I will have assigned to listen to this, what to look for. Because I'm even talking, you know, to some of the football players and looking and having them look at GA positions. And so this is key, you know. It's not necessarily, you talked about location, talked about opportunities to receive funds, and the type of degree. Did you consider that?
Oh, yeah. I knew I wanted to get my master's in sports management.
Okay. And this is something that puzzled me, I heard recently. So I know you took this class, Collegiate Athletic Administration, and I had you read the book, The System. And it was about the corruption, but it's really teaching you how to learn on somebody else's mistake. So one of the questions that came about, going back to the 18-year-old person, what's the hardest decision you had to make thus far in your career, and how did it mold or prepare you for your current position, with your current situation?
I think my hardest decision was not going into, being able to decide if I wanted to go straight from undergrad into full-time work or waiting those 2 years and getting my degree and then moving forward to find a job. And, of course, the waiting the 2 years really worked well for me because I was able to get experience and then
once this job did open and I applied, I was able to get the position. So I'll definitely say, I know sometimes, like, when you're younger, it's hard to determine. Like, when you graduate, you see everybody just moving forward, going straight to work, starting careers or starting somewhere within the field to move up to do what they really want to do. So I think I would definitely say don't hold back. Like, if you know you want to get more experience, or you know there's always another route to take, I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be able to stay grounded until you're able to, you know, fully hit the ground running. And I think it ultimately comes down to patience, like having that patience and not rushing into something and just having the patience to figure out what you want to do, because it takes time. I mean, a lot of times when you graduate from undergrad, you don't really know exactly what you want to do. You might have an idea, but as you get more experience, so many new doors of opportunities open. And I feel like that's important. So I would definitely say, like, the patience part of it definitely worked for me.
And patience is something, if you have patience, that's a great commodity, because very few truly does not. But I remember you going through the process of having to select whether you're going to take this job or another job. And it was exciting to see your thought process go, because I didn't want to tell you what to do. I just wanted to help you see all the options. So,
wait, so did you agree?
I think you
made
a great choice. Huh?
Oh, okay. No, I was asking if you agreed with my decision, because I remember that too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I definitely saw this.
Oh, yeah. I'm still excited, like the first day that we discussed it. So, yes. Yeah. So I believe she's a read. So share a book that has assisted in your leadership. And the reason she's a read. Share a book that assisted you in your leadership. And I say that because I had a student tell me that this is the most reading she's ever done in 4 years. And I was like, say what? I made her read the same book I had you read, The System, so she could learn on somebody else's mistakes. And I was like, I thought it was easy reading, you know. But, I mean, they thought it was too, but they just thought it was a lot of it. But I just can't imagine being in a college setting and not read a book. I don't know what in the world they're doing if they're not. But what book has helped you with your leadership?
Trying to think. I honestly don't know. Honestly, like, I read,
I know.
But it's like
I know.
I feel like,
so
honestly, yeah, the leadership that I was able to was just trial and error for me. Honestly, like, I feel like when you come into something, like you said, people are fearful of making mistakes. I've made mistakes that I had to learn from. And just seeing, like I said, for my leadership style, I noticed, like, being able to manage all these students is different in their own way. So I think, like, leading each student, you have a different approach to each individual person. Like, different people learn different ways. Different people react. Certain people can take, like, if they mess up, just the constructive criticism route. Some people can't handle that, and you have to be a little more, like, sit down, talk it out with them. So I think that's how I started to learn through my leadership. And even when I was a graduate assistant, it helped too with being a leader, because we still had to manage supervisors, student workers. So, yeah.
That is so good. Because I'm big on growing. And it does seem like you are growing and you're growing others. And I just want to say thank you so much for joining me here in the garden.
Thank you for having me. I was nervous, but.
I could tell. I was like, give me the 1-2 answers. Oh, no. And so I'm excited for you. And actually excited for. Okay, I got one more question, even though I know. Do you have any mentees that you are putting into the space of sports management?
You said, do I have any what?
Mentees that you're putting out here in sports management.
Mentees, you said?
Uh-huh, yes.
No.
Yes, you do. Are you supervising all them people? There's somebody that you are looking at for the next, and they're following you.
Bless your heart. I have, I have a lot of supervisors who are, like, actually in undergrad, and they're like, I can't wait to get to grad school so I can be a GA and work under you and keep learning and things like that. So it's cool to see, like, being impactful, and I feel like sometimes I'm also relatable to a lot of student workers because I'm close to them in age, so they see, like, the raw, the uncut. Somebody their age going through a process that they probably one day aspire to be in a position like mine. I know I spoke in a class, and it was just amazing to see, like, how many students, when the professor asked, would be interested in doing my job after I explained, and they were all like, yeah, I would love to be a graduate assistant, or I would love to one day be that job. So I feel like my job is people don't really know about it or, like, know behind the scenes, but once they hear about it and get the experience, it's definitely, like, something that interests them, which is cool, too. Because that's how I was at one point.
Well, I am really, really glad for your success. And we have another Hamptonian is serving as our engineer, Jamla Harrison. I'm not sure what year she came out, but this has been a Hampton University chat in the garden today. And I want to thank her for serving as my engineer, my eyes and ears. For those that are listening, join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. For updates on today's guest, go to Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.